We continue, of course, to focus on the financial crisis that is facing the entire world now. It really started with the subprime mortgage situation in the United States and spread from there. Some people in politics and in government blame a lot of this on a law that was passed more than 30 years ago, the Community Reinvestment Act, which basically directed federally regulated banks to make more of their loans into the communities that they served rather than to avoid certain neighborhoods simply because of geography. It was an anti-redlining measure that some say is responsible for too many bad loans being made. That fact, though, actively disputed by our next guest. He's a professor of law at the University of Michigan, and he recently testified to the United States Congress about this very issue. His name is Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you with us to try to lend some fact to some of the political rhetoric that's out there. A lot of people in politics, especially on the conservative side, are saying that this Community Reinvestment Act, something that passed nearly 30 years ago, is responsible, at least in part, for the subprime crisis that has led to the demise, really, of our financial system.
I just don't think that's a tenable argument. As you pointed out, CRA was enacted more than 30 years ago. It just doesn't make any sense to say it suddenly caused an explosion in bad subprime loans from 2002 to 2007. This is at a time, remember, when CRA enforcement was at its weakest and when the problems in the subprime sector were predominantly in firms that are not at all covered by CRA.
What is the Community Reinvestment Act? It comes from the Carter administration. What does it do and what doesn't it do?
Well, it was enacted, as you suggest, in 1977. The Community Reinvestment Act is an act that encourages banks and thrifts, regulated institutions, regulated federally insured depository institutions, to make sound loans to creditworthy borrowers across all the communities they serve, that is, in low and moderate income communities as well as in the rest of the middle and upper income communities, to the extent that they can make those loans and those loans in a safe and sound manner.
This goes back to the era of redlining when basically neighborhoods that were dominated by minorities were redlined literally on maps, and banks wouldn't make loans.
There was really a trio of laws put in place in the 60s and 70s designed to root out any discrimination in lending and also to ensure lending across the range of income communities. And the Community Reinvestment Act was one. The second was the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, which requires banks and thrifts and other creditors to release information about their lending. And the third is the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, which explicitly bars discrimination in lending. And those laws together are designed to make sure our financial system works fairly in an even-handed manner for everybody.
Now, in testimony you gave to the House Financial Services Committee, as I understand it, you basically said that most subprime loans, in fact, the overwhelming majority of the subprime loans that have been responsible for this situation in the financial institutions, were made by institutions that are not governed by CRA.
That's exactly right. When you look at the heart of the subprime crisis, it's exactly where CRA is absent. According to Fed data, during the peak years of the subprime boom, three-quarters of the higher-priced loans were made by independent mortgage firms and bank affiliates, neither of which are covered at all by CRA. So if CRA had caused the subprime crisis, it's really hard to make sense of why these non-covered lenders drove the growth. And if you think about it, it makes sense that these were different institutions. These subprime lenders were competing with CRA lending by banks and thrifts, and in many ways, undoing the important work of community banks and community groups that had been encouraging sound mortgage lending to creditworthy borrowers for many, many years.
So one of the things you said right in the beginning of our discussion was that the CRA focused on making responsible loans, that it didn't force subprime loans. It just encouraged the investment within a community that's served by a bank.
That's exactly right. So under CRA, banks and thrifts are supposed to make sound loans to creditworthy borrowers. And in fact, the bank regulators explicitly discouraged banks and thrifts from making predatory or abusive loans through a series of guidances. And CRA itself is designed to penalize firms that engage in that kind of bad behavior. So it really is not, I think, appropriate to lay the blame at CRA on this crisis. This crisis was driven by lax regulation, lack of transparency, and conflicts of interest outside the bank and thrift sector, engaged in by mortgage brokers, investment banks, securitization firms, rating agencies, that fed a process of capital satiation for investors. And in that process, there were serious conflicts of interest that were covered up as long as boom times continued. But as soon as housing prices started to fall, the real flaws in that process were badly exposed, and that's why we're in the crisis we're in now, not because of low-income borrowers.
I'm certainly no expert on this subject, but it appears to me that one of the things that's happened over the last few years is that the fox has been in charge of the henhouse. Most of the regulators have come right out of the industry that they're regulating.
I think that there have been lots of times in our history when people have gone in and out of government from the private sector, into government and back to the private sector again, and performed ably and responsibly. I would put the roots of the cause here much more on a deregulatory ideology that drove the current occupants of those jobs to turn a blind eye to the abuses in the subprime sector.
Where is Congress and the federal government dropped the ball on regulation? Is there any one vote that stands out? I've seen some talking about Graham Leach Bliley as being a major part of it. Is that the critical?
I think that kind of misses the ball. I think really the focus, you need to start with the failure to regulate the mortgage market properly, and in particular the subprime mortgage sector. And if you go back to June of 2000, Treasury and the Department of Housing and Urban Development issued a report called Curbing Predatory Home Mortgage Lending with a series of detailed recommendations for the Federal Reserve and Congress to shut down the problem loans. And I think what happened is the Republican Congress refused to act on those series of recommendations, and Chairman Greenspan was ideologically opposed to using the Fed's authority in a proper way. I should say Ben Bernanke, in a few months in office, was able to put in stronger regulations in this area than when his predecessor, Alan Greenspan, had claimed that he didn't have the legal authority for more than a decade. So I think that if you look at the heart of this crisis, the biggest failure is in the failure to regulate the mortgage market appropriately to protect homeowners.
Is there a danger that the pendulum will swing too far in the other direction and we might end up strangling our financial services industry by overregulation now?
I think there's some risk that we don't get the balance right, that we cut off access to credit for people who should have it, that we put in place burdensome regulations for financial institutions. That is some risk. I would say right now the risk is on the opposite side, the risk that we won't do enough to get our economy back on track, to get out of the current crisis, and to put ourselves on a proper path towards economic growth again. I think in the balance of risk, the risks of inaction right now are significantly higher. I think the key thing is that the deregulatory ideologues right now are trying to shift the blame from the proper locus of where it should be, those on Wall Street and in mortgage firms, at the rating agencies and in government, who turned a blind eye to these problems in the subprime sector. They're trying to deflect attention from that and put it on low-income homeowners. And I just think that is both factually and legally incorrect, and I should also say offensive.